And this is the point where if those, if they are so inclined to be down for children's church, this is their invitation to head that way. For the rest of us, these next two sermons have to start with two words in parentheses, okay? These are two words that are assumed in the verbiage around here. They're a part of our language, but they're not always written. And these two words are of Jesus. Okay? Here's, we'll put on the screen the logo. You see this a lot. You see the logo often, and it looks like that. Church of Christ Alexandria. Disciples. Making disciples. Here is that same logo if we were to add these two words in two places. Church of Christ Alexandria. Disciples of Jesus. Making disciples. Of Jesus. Okay. This is our, especially for those who are newer this morning, this is kind of our annual, why do we do what we do session or series or emphasis? Just a couple of sermons today and next Sunday. And with these types of messages, it's a little bit easy, if we're not careful, to kind of get into like the business side of church. You know, we talk a lot about human effort and work aspects, and we can be honest and say there's stuff we need to do better. This could potentially sound a little bit corporate. Okay, here's the goals and the graphs and evaluations. We're going to critique this, and here where we're getting complaints. And if you're not careful, like an annual congregational meeting for a church can kind of devolve into what I think to the world's eyes would look like a shareholders meeting. You know, and that's kind of somewhat because of our culture and the way we work our country and the way businesses are created, etc. So I'm going to start with these two words, of Jesus, this morning. I'm going to use some time in this sermon. I'm going to cut the partnership part a little shorter at the other half, because the who, Jesus, can never be forgotten, okay? It's this unwritten but always included phrase, of Jesus. This very greatly, this powerfully affects every human effort in this church. So if you're going to fall asleep during this sermon, if you're going to get distracted by something else, save that for later. Okay? Well, do that in the corporate part, and don't miss this part. Of Jesus. Okay, let me start with this. Who is Jesus? And I will start with God in the flesh. Okay, and on the front half of your bulletin, what you're going to get here are like a key verse that I'll put on the screen for you, and then a couple of verses in support. We'll just go down through these quickly. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I would add John 20:28 and Titus 2:13 as just references or verses that remind us Jesus is God in the flesh. He's a perfect Savior. 1 Peter 2:22, He committed no sin, no deceit was found in His mouth. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I would add Romans chapter 5, verse 9, and then in Ephesians chapter 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's the coming King. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Acts 1:8, John 14:3. That's who Jesus is. Some of it. What has Jesus done? First, he has paid the price for our sins on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Ephesians 1:7. Jesus is the one who has provided a perfect blueprint and example for living. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Matthew 4:1 to 11, 1 Peter 2:21. He's paved the way for us to be empowered by the indwelling, the internal gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk here in a minute. What does Jesus need us to do? That's a big job. How am I going to do it? Holy Spirit. He has given us the power within, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. That's Acts 2:38, Galatians 5:22-25. And then that last one on the front side, what does Jesus ask or want or need from us? He wants us to go tell people. Simply put, be disciples, be followers who live, work, share, do, model, whatever it takes. I want my life to be worthy of God, and in so doing, I'm going to help make disciples. And Craig read for you what I have on the screen, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If you need, or if you want a purpose statement for church life, that's it right there. Matthew 5:16, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors. Jesus, simply put, we should begin and end everything we say and do with Jesus. Now, are there more scriptures that I could have posted for any of the above? Oh, yeah, there are a lot. Are there other aspects that we could have included? There are a ton. You know, I understand if you say, "Hey, why didn't you use such and such a verse? It's a great verse." I agree. There are so many verses for all these because sharing the person, the work, the salvation, the lordship of Jesus, that's the heart of the Bible. You know, he is the who that God wants the world to know. We're his conduits. We're the vessel. So, because this mission is so important, it's so vital, it's so challenging, it's multifaceted. Because of that, this local body, this congregation, when we say CCAA, the Church of Christ at Alexandria, we have come up with what we've added in your bulletin, we'll put on a screen, as this partnership, we call it. Just trying to visualize, trying to consider the various aspects of the work. And we do use this as an annual checkup. This is kind of the new year. It's kind of a winter reminder. How are we doing in some of these areas? Where do we need to do better? You know, we have a, like I said, annual congregational meetings usually like the end of February. So kind of between now and then, it's kind of all, for all of us, kind of a mental evaluation period, goals, dreams, you know. How can we do better at this? And this would be sharing Jesus. You know, how does this work? We put this as a graphic. We call it a partnership. You can kind of see that the church, the congregation, is agreeing to try to strive to provide down the left side. And then you and I, as the individual disciples, we say, I'm going to bring the right side into being. Kind of like the corporate work on the left and the individual job description on the right. You know, but you do know it. It's not either or. You don't pick one. It's both and, okay? Right? Because we are the church, you know, so we're involved on both sides of the agreement. And some of this, I'm telling you, some of the stuff I think about in my own head, and then I go home and talk to Denise, you know, and you get a chance now to see some of it and hear some of it. I understand if you want to fire back at me on some of this. I've had time to think about it. This is new to you. I understand you. I don't know how to use this word. You guys have heard a ton of sermons from me. Okay, and that's my sermon database, and I use that term somewhat literally because this today is actually my 2000th new sermon that I have written for this congregation. It just so happened when I was putting stuff in last week, it came up, this is 2000. And I know you can do the math and say, well man, 2000 divided by 52 is 38 years. You ain't been here that long. But there were weeks when I did two early on. I preached two. So that's how I got to 2000. So this is some of the stuff that I've been thinking. Some of the stuff I've been hearing. I talked to Denise. I'll talk to Derek. I'll talk with the elders and the deacons. I've had appointments with people who come into my office, say, hey, we need to work on this. Ironically, Wednesday night, the Bible study people unknowingly said some of the same stuff that I'm going to say here today, exactly what I've been thinking. So that's where we are, this week and next, kind of an annual praying and thinking and weighing, alluded to the field. We, you know, just, I don't know where we'll be this time next year, but maybe some opportunities. So let's look at the corporate side. on the back of your insert. We start with spiritual disciplines, I'll say, or foundations, we use the word, your personal spiritual foundation. Our church wants to help you with that, whether it is prayer, Bible reading, fasting, memorizing. We give through the year. We give challenges and times where we want people to memorize the Bible. We'll encourage you. Set aside a time. Fasting is what? I'm going to forego a physical meal. Use that time to pray and read and have a spiritual meal. It's a discipline. You know, prayer, we just used 1 Thessalonians 5:17 in one of the devotions we wrote this week. Pray continually. And that particular devotion was read by and shared by more people than the norm, because it's a hunger in the culture, you know, to be mindful of praying. And this is where the Wednesday night group said the same thing I'm thinking. They brought up pointedly younger kids, you know, that we need to be thinking about and working and doing younger kids, you know, and that's why I said I generated this prayer list. And today we did pretty good, pretty balanced, but generally, be honest, if we've been here for, what do we generally ask for? Physical healing for people who are generally older. If we're honest, you know, we spend a lot of time praying, and that's great, we're going to keep doing it, and you pray a lot for older people, and the Lord brings you older people. Well, what would happen? Just kind of thinking outside the box here a little bit, you know. If we consciously and pointedly prayed for. So I have this page, and it's from 3 John 2, okay, where the verse says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health," as we do, "and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So there's biblical balance in praying for. So this is the list, and what I'm going to do is just regularly pick out kids, groups. Please add to this list. Like sometimes I'm going to say, pray for the students who go to Northridge. Pray for our kids who are homeschooled. Pray for our children's church. They're downstairs right now with their kids. Johnstown, we mentioned. The kids who go to the Christian schools. Our students who attend Granville Sunday School. Students who go to CTEC, Lakewood, Heath, Derek and the youth group. Kids who attend private school, extracurricular opportunities that they have, band, sports, music, stage, our young people who are in college, Hunter and the guys that are serving overseas, men and women. You know, there's all kinds of prayers. Our neighbors, financial, anxiety, addictions, Thanksgiving. We just had it this morning. Thankful for new babies. Want the health. You know. Hope you're thankful for the energy that comes from little kids that are, you know, praising the Lord. Just prayer, just adding to, you know, I don't know if it's chicken and egg cause and effect type stuff, you know, but just consciously praying and keep bringing all the prayers. We're going to keep listening and adding all of those, but pointedly praying for the kids. You know, when you're studying the Bible, how does that help me? What's going to happen? What God wants to happen is going to happen. This is Isaiah 55:11. "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Psalm 1:1. Here's this Psalms, the book of Psalms, the great encouragements and devotions. Where does it start? Where are the roots? Being in the Bible. 1:1. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." That's a promise from God's word. That is backed up by an abundance of scientific study and research. This is from renew.org. "This fact has been confirmed by every major study of spiritual growth over the last 20 years. And the one they're referencing is from Lifeway. And it's a study that says, if a person will do this thing, okay, we're going to fill in the blank in a minute. If you do this, you can expect at least 9 changes in your life. And these are the results. Might be fine print on the screen, but I'll read them to you. Feeling lonely will drop 30%. Anger issues will drop 32%. Bitterness in your relationships can drop 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. On the upside, sharing your faith jumps 200%. And discipling others jumps 230%. If you do this thing, what is the thing? The title there would be engage with Scripture 4 times a week. That's the line. Engage means more than just read it and check a box. Read it, think about it, pray on it, apply it. The particular study that we're talking about, they followed 40,000 people from age 8 to 80. And I will give you a graph, mostly just the colors that you can see, as to how the generations engage. And there's no difference. This is not something where older people did it better than younger people. That we're all the same. Okay? The red, the largest percentage is people who said, how often do you engage with Scripture in a week? And their answer is zero. They're just being honest. The yellow section are the people who said between 1 and 3 days a week. So you get one, you get credit for here, okay? You're one of the good. You know? But the blue was the group that said 4 or more. 4 or more times a week. And the cut is, here's the saddest part. The people that are in the 1 to 3 group, they said they didn't really experience much difference in their life than the zero group. The change, for whatever reason, was 4 times. The power of 4. Am I willing to try to engage with the Word of God 4 times a week? The estimate is 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 young people from evangelical Christian homes walk away from their faith by the time they are 23. The study was done by Brown in 2006. They said this best spiritually based predictor among 13 to 17 year olds was their personal engagement in Scripture. That's why we're talking about personal spiritual foundations. We want to encourage that. It's significant to begin. A worship experience, a worship environment, we want to provide that. Worship is show reverence, adoration. We want to try to provide a setting, try to provide a place where that can be done. And what do you usually think? You start talking about worship, we're going to talk about music, church service, part of it. Can you think of worship beyond Sunday morning music? I don't know. You think the wise men sang to Jesus? I guess I don't picture it. You know, it's just, Matthew 2:2. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. You know, I see him, and they stand up and sing a little trio. You know, it's like, I don't think that's what they did. You know, Psalm 29:2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. How, ascribe is the word. How do you ascribe something to God? I'm trying to give him what he deserves. So we try to provide that as a church. And we've worked on this. If you've been here for a while, we work desperately trying to create this community. We do it. Mark does a great job. He's going to incorporate contemporary songs and classic hymns. And any conversation I ever have about that blend is usually brings up the part of it the person doesn't like. It's just true across the board. I don't care what generation you are. And you know, there are churches that have separated. They separate, I don't know if you say the genre or the type of music, which I think almost inherently separates the generations. It's plus and minus. I know that you will gain in the one area. You will gain, probably gain numbers. People who appreciate your taste in music, you have a bigger group of your friends in the sanctuary. I think you might lose or give up the ability to try to defer, to try to say, I know we're doing that because of somebody else. You know, I don't know how to put this. I don't want to come across saying, dear Lord, give me more of what I like and help me have to think less about other people. I don't know how to put that, but you can tell me if you think that'd help. Tell me, tell Mark, tell any of the worship people you see up here, say, yeah, man, if you would just put the kind of music I like, I guarantee you I'll go invite 50 of my friends. Okay, we'll work that out. You know? And I told you a couple weeks ago, be thinking of what you're hearing, especially contemporary Christian music. I'm trying to do this. It's really impacted me. Worship. Lifting up God. This is how do I put it? How much of this music that I hear this week will be God-focused versus me-focused? Which is fine, but it has to be a balance. I'll say the me focus is on the front end. You're hurt, you're wounded, you got trouble, you need, God loves you, God will help you, God will pick you. That is great, but I can't just dwell there. You know, how much of the music will say, okay, now you've been in the hospital. Nobody wants to live in the hospital. Okay, hospital did its job, now you're picked up, now are you moving on and out and going and serving. So what I do whenever I start talking about this in preparation, I just click on the recently played and they spit out the last seven songs. So at that moment of the seven, I would say that same God, warrior, perfectly loved and forgiven are on the front end. Those four songs have great lyrics, but it's a lot of here you are, you're wounded, God is here, God will help you. And there they sat. Okay. Plans, a song entitled Plans, is kind of middle of the road. God has plans. You going to do them? Or are you going to stay here? And I would credit of the seven, What If and Alive and Breathing were more of those. Okay, now I got to go out and do and share. And I'm not giving you the artist name because I don't want you to just, oh, he said that song. Man. Turn it off. That's it's not, you know, just kind of, just when you hear a song, is it front end? Loving and healing, or is it kind of next level? Okay, you've been patched up. Back to work. You know, I'm not opposed to music that says it's okay to be broken. I get weary of too much music that kind of just seems to dwell there and makes me think I'm always supposed to be broken. God loves me, broken and whole. You know, study community, we try to provide Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Philip helped the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 learn more. Priscilla and Aquila were instrumental in helping Apollos refine his thinking in chapter 18. I thought this was a great example. I don't know her, but young lady named Auburn Powell, she talked about softball. She said, before I played my first softball game, my season in middle school, my mom said, hey, you should try to familiarize yourself with like the basic concepts of softball. She said, as I read through the rules, I worked to understand as much as possible. Some parts of the game confused me. I was especially curious as the best way to carry around a stolen base during the game. I tried to picture a lot of the rules in my head and try to form a cohesive idea of what an entire game would be like. It was difficult. A lot of the rules seemed arbitrary, random, seemingly useless. It wasn't until I started attending practice regularly that I finally understood the game. The watchful eye of my coach, encouraging words and the different skills of my teammates, opportunities to practice new plays and techniques, they allowed me to learn and said I could now naturally follow the softball rules that once had confused me on my own. We all know there's strength in community. We have seen it this week in the news with the nation and the prayers for DeMar Hamlin, football teams, the Bills, the Bengals, family, community. Right now, media is part of this. This is an announcement slide. You could scan that QR code right now, and it would invite you to download our free-to-you subscription. We do not agree with every single word of every single thing in Right Now Media. It's impossible. We chew and spit, if you will. You know, a little gristle. Don't want that. We sift, we sort, we note, we edit. We have our own channel on Right Now Media. Okay, if you went to the, that's what the header looks like. We can sort the studies. Like right now I have the Bible studies as a top channel. Men, women, kids, marriage, money, holidays, that's stuff we've already put on our channel. You may have some other things that you say, how about this? You know, I'd like to see some content that would help with that. You might have already used this, and you've found something that you think, I think should be on our church channel, because it is very helpful. You might find some stuff, say, we need to block that. Just make sure we don't use that. I don't agree. Our Saturday morning guys right now are using a series from Dr. Shane J. Woods. He's a professor at Ozark Christian College. He's leading in a study of Revelation. I think, to be honest, I think Shane's younger than me, and he does a better job than me. You know, he's really good. I like his style. I like the way he delivers. He's writing, I don't know how they did it, but it's like he's writing backwards on that board, and it comes right way for us. You know, it's our job to try to provide the best opportunities we can, even if we don't create this stuff from scratch. You know, feel free to share our Right Now Media. It is free to everyone. That's what Right Now Media wants. That's what we want. It is properly paid for by the church. Share that with any friend that you know. They're welcome to use it. It's on the cards in the foyer, etc. Service opportunities. Galatians 5:13, we're trying to provide, serve one another in love. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because you can look across the agreement and say, next week we're going to talk about serving in the church body. Who do you know that needs help? Who can we serve? What kind of recommendations can you give? Sometimes it's easier to think up service stuff for other people. I get that sometimes. You should get so-and-so to do this. Great. What can I do? How can I help? I think people of all ages want to serve. They do. And they want their service to count. I was looking up service. I came to this definition, use of serve, 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Military people understand it. You know, this is my calling, and I have to do this. Sometimes at the expense of other things I wish I could do. People of all generations, we want to serve. You want it to count. If the church isn't giving something that's valuable and worthy of service, some people are going to leak out and go do something else that they think is a better investment. You know? And sometimes it sounds like a simple thing in the beginning. Like anybody that walks in these doors has seen the transformation from mulch and weeds to stone. You know what we did. You know, we hired a landscaper. They pulled every one of those weeds. They put down a really thick mat underneath that stone. They laid the stone there in the hopes that we won't have weeds. Now you might say, yeah, now we don't have as much color. Understand. Now we're not inclined to cut a bunch of holes in that mat to fill it with weeds. You know? We are willing, I think this looks good. I think we'll bring in some real big pretty pots. Fill them with whatever you want. Colorful stuff. You know? And we can have both and. You know? And somebody's going to say, I'm not really a landscaper. Don't care. I get that. But that's kind of a front door thing that could encourage or dissuade somebody before they even come in the room. They make a judgment. And I'm telling you that because I just did it this week to another church, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I drove somewhere and went to meet with a preacher, and I'm in there driving and I dodged a lot of bottles, and I'm just being honest. I'm like, and what was my thought? Man, they don't care. You know? And it might not be true at all. They might not have the money. But I made a snap judgment, you know, and I'm like, sometimes stuff you think doesn't matter, matters. You know, Drew Reed has an excellent opportunity downstairs. If you are mechanically minded, there's a whole whiteboard full of things that need attention. That's not you? Great. Cooking, sharing, cards, bag ladies are collecting stuff for the military and the college. Service. And I understand if you say, I don't see the end result of my service. If you have a knack for getting those little transition strips fixed between the new flooring, come down in the basement, there's a couple that I just can't get. And you might say, well, I fixed the transition and I didn't experience the big heavenly Gatorade parade, you know, of yay, you know, but it's going to come. Okay. In the future, when kids and their families benefit from those classrooms that you help put together. One day there's going to be a victory parade. You know? And then the last one is just fun and fellowship. We need it. I saw Paul, the apostle, last week. Being around people helped him. I think he'd much rather spend time with his friends than sitting alone in his cell thinking about everybody who's deserted him. No. Proverbs 15:13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Sometimes, especially in this culture, in this cynical society, you just need to be able to, I'm just going to laugh. It's just funny. Doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just funny. At a party, a young wife admonished her husband, "That is the fourth time you have been back for cake and ice cream." Doesn't that embarrass you? Why should it? I keep telling them it's for you. On a Miami to Chicago flight, a lively youngster was driving everyone crazy. He was running up and down the aisle. The flight attendant tries to serve coffee. He runs into her, knocks the coffee. He stands there and watches her as she's cleaning up the mess. She glances up at this little chap and says, "Hey, look, why don't you go play outside?" And before you question that, that was from Reader's Digest, 1955. Okay? That's when that was published by Eugene Carroll. Because you can't write that today because somebody will be all mad. You know, and that's the world we live in. You know, everything is critiqued and criticized and canceled from 20 years ago. Pressure cooker. Sometimes you just want to laugh. That's exactly why we have cartoons in the bathroom. Okay? Could we put scriptures in the stalls? We could. You know, I just gave you a whole litany of scriptures today. Could we put bulletin announcements and flyers in the bathroom? We could, but I hope you read the bulletin and look at it online. We just want something funny. I just want somebody to share something with a friend. Go, "Man, that's hilarious. Where'd you hear that?" Ironically, in the bathroom at church. That's where I got it. Yeah. The future of God's people includes fun and fellowship. There's always that part of the vision. In Zechariah 8:5, the people are in exile, struggle, restoration. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. You know? And somebody's going to say, "You don't play in the street." Well, that's a future where it's perfect. Revelation is perfect. A city where the gates are never shut. Revelation 21:25. The wedding feast of the Lamb, 19:9. Then the angel said to me, "Right, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." I want to be there. That's going to be the greatest wedding feast there. It's going to be fun. Celebrate. Fun, fellowship, enjoyment, celebration, laughter. That's not the front line of what we do. It's not all we're about, but it's a part. All of those on that left side are a part of what we're trying to accomplish. It's a partnership. There's a corporate side. There's an individual side. That's the stuff we're working on. Some of it we already have in place. Some of it we need to have in place. Some of it could be contingent, mate, and the old Lord willing, this time next year, there's a whole new 27 acres that we say, what do you think we could do? Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time and place. Thank you for those who are a part of our circle today. Thank you for those who have been faithful stewards and servants in the past to give us this potential. They have sacrificed. They have gone without. They have done what is best for others at the expense of their own choice. And Father, we just pray that we can continue in that line and that we would be able to see what is possible. May it always be grounded and rooted, all of it, in Jesus, in sharing Him and serving Him. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.